Do you know anything about this?
Arch, don't worry. It's like when we stopped paying the phone bill. They stopped calling us. In fact, everyone did.
I think we should go see our mortgage broker.
Let's see here. Balloon payment, 37% interest compounded every minute, not understanding the contract fee. And here's your new monthly payment.
That number's so big it has a comma.
Oh, wait, I left out a zero.
Listen, you. When you gave me that money, you said I wouldn't have to repay it till the future. This isn't the future. It's the lousy stinking now.
Now, calm down. This country takes care of its middle class.
Top Confederate Radio.blogspot.com.
Subversive music for dangerous times.
I don't know what they want to call these economic times, but I've never seen anything like it or been through anything like it in my entire fucking life. We went right into the shitter, and nobody, not one leader, warned us. Not a one. Not a Democrat, and not a Republican. I think another lesson that can be learned from this is fairly simple, that you should expect from your leader the same thing you'd expect from an experienced new guy. We'll be going down that fork in the river, because if we go down that one,
there's a fucking waterfall!
I knew that we were heading toward the shitter, and I know nothing. And I knew, and I can guarantee that everybody in this room who had a job, and for 40 hours working 40 hours a week, I can guarantee a year before the shit hit the fan, you were sitting in the office, and either you said it, where someone in your office at some point turned to you and went, "Hard, I think we're fucked." And the reason was because we in the book made it so obvious was the housing bubble. It was like the 47th bubble of my lifetime. And every time the bubble bursts, and everybody goes, "Wow, how fuck, wow, why? Gee, who thought?" Everybody knew there was a housing bubble.
Oh, but ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America something to see, baby? Ain't that America home of the free? Yeah, little pink houses for you and me. Oh, yeah.
You just fucking, you'd be in a neighbor, you go, "Gee, that house cost $60,000 last year." And now it costs $600,000. What did they do? Well, they put a gazebo in the back. And it's made entirely of human scrotums. It's the most comfortable place to sit in town.
Oh, ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America?
The amazing thing is that no one, not one leader talked about it. Not one leader discussed where we were headed. Not a one. They all said it was going to be okay. All I heard for the course of the campaign and was that everything was going to be all right because capitalism is the most wonderful economic system ever developed because it was developed by God Himself for us. There's nothing more splendid than capitalism. It is a beautiful garden, a garden that irrigates itself and fertilizes itself, and it needs no sunlight because it basks in the glory of its own reflection. There's nothing more wondrous than the garden that is capitalism. And if it is left entirely unregulated, that garden will grow and grown and grown until all of us share in its beautiful fruit. And so I went to bed every night, dreaming about my beautiful fruit. And then I woke up one morning, and there was the Secretary of the Treasury standing behind the White House at the back door, as if he was trying to get away.
Holy fuck! We're fucked, he said. We're completely fucked, son of a bitch. I don't know what happened to the garden, but it's a piece of shit now. Watch that hand coming up your ass. It's looking for quarters. Put straws in your nose. The river of shit is rising. Start pulling out your gold fillings and put them on eBay. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Then he ran around the White House three times with his hair on fire.
Oh, ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America for something to see, baby? Ain't that America, home of the free? Yeah, little pink houses for you. Oh, good baby for you and me.
Many, many people blame what happened economically on the people who they say who couldn't afford rent and bought homes. Those are the fuckers. Those fuckers are the ones. Those broke fuckers fucked everything. Really? It was them? What bullshit. It takes a lot of balls to blame them, because you got to be out of your fucking mind. You're going to tell me if you were broke and somebody came to you and said, look, I know you can't pay rent. Want a house? No, I'm going to continue to live on the grate in my box. Spring is coming. I hate to miss it. Many congressmen said that they felt the problem was created by those sons of bitches who didn't read their mortgages. Whoever has. You don't read your own mortgage. That's why we have lawyers. You hire a lawyer or a paralegal. Or if you're really broke, you hire somebody who's fucking a paralegal. But you're not going to read your mortgage. That's why we have lawyers. They study a language for 3 years, and they learn it, and it's a language that if a normal person read it, they'd have a stroke. I tried to read my own mortgage. On the last page, there was actually the outline of a boat with a squirrel in it. What the fuck's that about? Well, I got to color it in. Well, keep it in the lines, fucker. I've tried to read my mortgage. It's 100 pages long, okay? And it's 100 pages, and there's no punctuation. It's just like it's a run-on sentence. It's like driving a car without brakes. You go, oh! I got through the third line, and I had my first out-of-body experience. I hovered over my body, and I had to promise myself I wouldn't read the fourth line, and then I could re-enter myself. What caused economic crisis is greed. It's purely and simply greed. That's where it lies. There is no discussion of that. That's what we've done over the course of my lifetime. One of the things that my country seems to have done is perfect greed. You think Enron and WorldCom, you thought, wow, can't get any more fucked up than that.
Ha, 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 ha. Oh, yeah. And there's winners. And there's losers. But that ain't no big deal. Cause a simple man, baby, pays the thrills, the bills, the bills that kill. Oh, but ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America?
Nancy Jacobini was sitting inside her Orange County home alone when she heard a noise at the door.
I was very scared. I didn't know who it was.
Jacobini grabbed her cell phone, locked herself inside a bathroom, and dialed 911. This happened last Tuesday.
So there's a male outside and inside? Is that?
They've got
it. I don't know. I'm locked in my bathroom. I don't know. I just know somebody is breaking. Somebody broke into my house.
The call lasted 10 minutes.
Did they kick the door in? How did he get the door open? Did you know?
I don't know.
Once Orange County Sheriff's deputies showed up, it was determined the man who broke the lock on Jacobini's front door was actually a contractor hired by her mortgage company, J.P. Morgan Chase. The bank claims the home was abandoned because Jacobini never established a mortgage payment plan and utilities had been shut off. But that's not what we found.
Just by the looks of it, it may look dark in this home like there's no power coming to it. But if you turn the switch, you can see there is plenty of electricity here.
My electric is current. It always has been, as well as my water. I'm here all the time.
Even though Jacobini is more than 3 months behind on her mortgage payments, a spokesperson for J.P. Morgan Chase told me the bank made a mistake. It has no legal right to change the locks on a home that's not foreclosed with someone living inside.
And burn my shadow away. And burn my shadow away.
Lupe and Hugo and their five children were evicted from the family home.
Agresivo, eso es lo que quiero decir.
It was aggressive. They were knocking hard on the door. It was excessive, as if they had come to get some rats out.
Lupe and Hugo hadn't missed a month's rent in 20 years. But the landlord defaulted on his loan, and their home was foreclosed by the bank. They had seen the eviction notices, but they were paying their rent and had been reassured by the landlord. They didn't think anything would happen so quickly.
Y aparte de eso, no nos dejaron sacar absolutamente nada.
They kicked us out without any of our things. They wouldn't even let me get my diabetes medicine. Nothing. Get out, that's all they said.
Lupe and Hugo's children walk home from school without their backpacks and school supplies. When the police came to evict them here at their home, they gave them 10 minutes before padlocking shut the door. All of Stephanie's books and assignments are still inside, but it was hard to get her teachers to believe her.
Some of them understand, but others didn't, because they probably thought it was just an excuse for me not to turn in homework.
And where's the dog go? Because the dog, this was his home too.
Yeah, he lives outside with my dad.
Hugo managed to save his dog, his TV, and a few other possessions before his home was locked up. But he had nowhere to put them, so he just left everything outside on his front porch.
We are in California, but it's really cold tonight. Even so, Hugo wants to sleep here next to his stuff to protect it. And more importantly, because up at the house where his family is, he says there are too many bodies there, and he doesn't want to take up any extra space.
Hugo and Lupe never imagined they would be in this situation. But now they are struggling more than ever, for reasons far beyond their control.
Lay awake at night. For some love, you know I'm troubled. I can't keep a job. I'm laid off and I'm having double trouble. But hey, hey, to make it you've got to try. Baby, believe me, that ain't. Some of this generation is millionaires, and I can't even keep decent clothes to wear.
The United States is still suffering the effects of its worst financial crisis in decades. Chicago, one of the country's manufacturing centers, was hit hard by the recession.
Look at this queue of people up ahead, all around the city. You keep seeing queues of people. I'm gonna get out and see what these guys are waiting for.
St. Columbanus Church is one of 600 charities across the city that gives out emergency food rations.
Did you ever think you'd be standing in a queue for food?
No, I never did.
I used to program computers. I don't have any business being in this line, really.
I'm like him. My master's is in instruction of technology,
no jobs out
computer
there.
Technology.
And what do you do?
Mental health professional. And I can't survive off of $24,000 a year when your rent is $800 a month with utilities and other bills, you know. School bills for the kids. It's just hard. It's hard.
Bus fare, lunch money, all that.
You work every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you work every day.
Yeah, I work almost 7 days a week.
IDs.
Across America, many working people from all sectors have taken as much as 40% in pay cuts in desperation to hold on to their jobs.
People rely on these handouts to feed themselves and their families. What's unusual about this queue is that many of these people have jobs.
We met with Father Matt Ayerman, who runs this weekly handout. He relies on private donations for food.
Father Matt.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Ramita. Thank
nice
you.
Nice to meet you. Welcome.
So you've got a lot of people queuing up, waiting
this
to get
is,
in.
On Wednesday mornings, we give out food to 400, on average, 498 families. A year ago, it was 370 families, and a year ago before that, it was 240 families. So we've seen actually in 2 years almost a doubling of what we can do. And it's the working poor. It's people who have jobs, have apartments, and can't make it.
So how is it possible that without this, they would struggle to feed themselves if they've got jobs?
Because the jobs don't pay enough for them to make it. They don't have enough benefits to make it, or they don't have enough people in the household working in order to make it.
What do you see will happen in the future?
I hope that it gets better at some point, but we can't, because it's, like I said, we're really at capacity. We're stretched to the breaking point in terms of serving everyone that needs to get served.
If a person in Chicago earns more than $900 a month, they don't qualify for the government's food program. So many of the working poor must rely on charitable donations like these.
So, Don, what have you got?
Just a potato. Yeah. I'll make do with those.
That's for the week.
Not
many.
No.
Today, over 37 million Americans receive either state or private food assistance. That's double the number from just 2 years ago. Throughout the country, the number of homeless has also rocketed. More than 3 million people were made homeless last year, many of whom still hold down jobs. Half of these have found refuge in charity-run shelters.
We've heard that homeless shelters are struggling to cope with the numbers of new arrivals. We're in the south of the city and we're going to visit one of these shelters.
People can stay at the Breakthrough Urban Ministry shelter for 120 days. After that, they must find somewhere else to live.
Hi,
we met Yolanda Fields, who's been working here for 7 years.
Welcome to Breakthrough Urban Ministry.
Thank you.
The shelter has been overwhelmed with new arrivals. Every month, hundreds more join the waiting list, looking for a place to sleep.
I don't think that there are enough resources or shelters to cope with this sort of the new epidemic that we're witnessing. There really isn't enough money in our local government or federal government. So what programs did exist prior to this epidemic now have either had to scale back the services that they're offering or they don't exist at all.
You call this an epidemic. Is this that serious a problem?
I believe that it is. I think that we haven't even begun to get an accurate number. Mm-hmm. And so while the numbers, you know, I think now are pretty much undocumented, we're finding that those numbers are great enough right now to call it an epidemic.
Many said they did not want to talk about their situation on camera. Some have not yet told their friends and family they're homeless. But one man, Carl Felton, who works as a chef, agreed to speak with us.
This is Carl. This is Ramita.
Hi, Carl. How did you end up here in a shelter?
The company that I was working for went out of business, and I was an independent contractor, and it left me with no source of income. And here you have to go on the waiting list, so it was time that I was riding the buses that run all night. You ride from one end to the other end, or either some nights you have to stay at McDonald's all night, open 24-hour McDonald's, get you a cup of coffee every 2 hours or so.
What was the hardest thing about being homeless?
Hardest thing is not having a place to say that you can call home. That's the hardest thing, having a place to call home. But I do want to, one day soon, have a place that I can call home, that I don't have to stand in line to take a shower, stand in line to get something to eat. We here in the shelter or on the street, we're in a state of our survival. I want to live one day again. This is survival.
Over half of all people living in shelters are there because they've had their homes repossessed by the banks. The number of homeless Americans surged when the foreclosure crisis hit 3 years ago.
We're in a neighborhood in the south of the city that's been hardest hit by repossessions and evictions. We're going to meet the Community Housing Association that are helping families who are about to lose their homes. They've agreed to give us a tour of the area.
In the south of Chicago, we saw streets lined with boarded up houses. Community leader Mike Reardon told us this was happening across the country.
So a road like this, Mike, I can see that there are several houses that are boarded up.
Mm-hmm.
How many families in an average road like this have lost their homes?
On each block, what we've seen is about half a dozen families have lost their homes.
Right.
We're talking about 5,000 people in one area that are in danger of losing their homes.
Right now.
Right now.
Mm.
rather than talk about numbers, let's take a look at what's happening, actually happening. Why don't we just stop for a moment and we'll get out, okay?
Great.
This is Rockwell Street, and this particular corner indicates how boarded up buildings and vacant buildings come in all shapes and sizes.
So, Mike, these buildings that have been boarded up here, how many families just on this corner lost their homes?
Well, I would assume that you would have about 25 or 30 families.
And that's just this corner,
just this
not
corner.
This road.
Right.
And I can see nearly every single house is boarded up on this road.
You know, when we first started working on this, we put together this map. And this map, we used dots to indicate houses that were about to be foreclosed on. It looks like our neighborhood is bleeding.
Last year, over 800,000 homes were repossessed by the banks. According to some economists, this year, that figure could run into the millions. We traveled south to the state of Tennessee. We'd heard thousands of the new homeless are taking refuge in temporary encampments. The city of Nashville has over 40 of these new communities, known as tent cities.
We've just come to downtown Nashville, where we've heard one of the tent cities is based. We've been told that it's under an intersection and next to an old railway track. We're right here by this old railway track now. Well, just from here, you can see it looks like really quite a big community. It looks like a sprawling tent city. I can see dozens and dozens of tents.
The camp has expanded rapidly over the last year. Most tent cities are illegal, but as their numbers have grown, many like this one are tolerated.
Just walking down this gravel path that goes straight through Tent City, and this is like a road running through a town, and Tent City really is like a self-contained town. From here, you can see that nearly every single tent has got heating, there's water here, and every now and again, you'll see a table of food. There's one over there. Hi.
How you doing?
We met Brian Raddy, who's been traveling the country looking for work.
Brian, have you been without a home for long?
Yeah, for a few months.
Is this the first time you've been homeless?
Yeah.
What were you doing before?
I was in the grocery store business, in the retail business.
And you lost your job?
I lost my job.
How bad is the situation out there with jobs?
Real bad. Real bad. And there's tent cities everywhere.
So there are tent cities like this all across the country.
Yeah.
And are these people like working class Americans?
Yes. Yes, there sure is. Yeah.
Brian, are you surprised that you're in this position, that you're homeless?
Yes. Really surprised. Because I've always had work and the economy's so bad. You know, there's not too much work out there.
And how does it feel, a man like you being homeless?
It doesn't feel very good, I can tell you that. But I'm surviving, I'm dealing with it. I'm doing the best I possibly can. I don't understand why America is the way it is today. I really don't know.
Pop Music Radio.
PopMusicRadio.blogspot.com.
Subversive music for dangerous times.
Standing in line, marking time, waiting for the welfare dime. Cause they can't buy a job. Hurries by as he catches the poor old lady's eyes. Just for fun, he says, get a job. That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is. Ah, but don't you believe them? Said, hey, little boy, you can't go where the others go. Cause you don't look like they do. Said, hey, old man, how can you stand to think that way? And did you really think about it before you made the rules? He said, sure. That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. that's just the way it is. Oh, but don't you believe that?
Unemployment has doubled in the last 2 years, and one in five Americans is now jobless. Yet two-thirds of the unemployed are not receiving benefits. The criteria are strict. If you're a temporary, part-time, or self-employed worker, you don't qualify.
Just talking to people here in Tent City, you get a real sense of the extent of the problem of homelessness. Nearly everybody here has tried to get a bed in the shelter, but they're all full. Nearly everybody here is desperately looking for work. Hi, I'm Ramita.
Michael.
There's quite a lot of people that live here.
There's 93 people that live here. Baby!
We met Michael Farley, an out-of-work mechanic, and his wife, Stacey.
My name's Stacey.
She was also looking for work.
Can we come visit you?
Yeah.
They had been on a waiting list for social housing for the past year.
Can I come in, Stacey?
Yeah, come on in.
Thanks.
Over 2 million households rely on the government-subsidised housing programme. But due to a funding shortfall, only about a quarter of eligible families receive assistance, and most cities have waiting lists of up to 5 years.
How long have you guys been living here in Tent City?
6 months.
I gotta ask you what that noise is.
That's the bridge.
So that's cars going over the bridge. Is that all day long?
All day long.
All day long.
It's really loud. Is that at night as well?
Yeah. I mean, it does get to you after a while. I'm tired of living like this. I mean, it's affected me a lot because I don't get to see my kids. You know, nobody deserves to live like this.
Stacey had been forced to leave her son and daughter with relatives. The residents of Tent City do not allow children here. Women and children are the fastest growing group of homeless people. We wanted to find out what happens to them when they lose their homes.
There's only one emergency shelter for families in the whole of Nashville. It's called Safe Haven. If families can't get a bed here, they usually split up. We've been told that there may be families who want to talk to us here. Hi.
We met Lisa Crowder. She and her four children were forced to sleep on friends' floors for 6 months until the Safe Haven shelter found her somewhere to stay.
Lisa, what happened that you ended up needing a shelter?
I was working and I wound up getting laid off from my job. So at that point, it was hard to pay my rent because I had no income. And I wound up getting evicted. So that's how I wound up here.
And Cassandra, how did you feel when you had to leave your house when your mommy lost her job?
Feel kind of sad and it felt weird.
Did any of your teachers or did any of your friends know when you didn't have a home?
I didn't really like tell them. They noticed it because how the bus picks us up from here. A lot of people always used to ask me, why do you live in a shelter? And I just say I don't really want to talk about it because it makes me sad and it makes me remember the first day we left our home.
Did you ever feel hungry?
Yeah.
One time we didn't have food for 3 days.
And how did it feel, that hunger, for so long?
I felt like I was gonna die.
My own heart that's left is
for me to roam. Somebody please help me hang on. Homeless child, homeless child, homeless child, homeless child, homeless child. What is left for the homeless child? There is no night and there is no day. It is all one shade of gray. Some will pass and some will stay. I said, is this the end or just one more day? Homeless child, homeless child, homeless child, homeless child, homeless child. What is left for the homeless child? Best. I just need some place to rest. If you would just let me be your guest, oh, I won't burden you for very long. Homeless child, homeless child, homeless child, homeless child. I said homeless child. What is left for the homeless
child. California, where we'd heard more and more people were ending up on the streets. But the state of California has the highest debt in the country, and many essential services have been cut, including emergency housing assistance.
We're on our way to downtown Los Angeles to an area called Skid Row. Some people say that it's got the most heavily concentrated population of homeless people in the country.
Skid Row is just one square mile, yet as many as 2,000 sleep rough here every night. It has a reputation for drugs and crime. As we arrived, police helicopters hovered above.
I'm going to try and talk to people here, see if anyone will talk to me. Hi.
Hi.
My name is Ramita. Maluba, do you live here?
Yeah, I live here.
So you
sleep on the streets.
You sleep on the streets? How come you're homeless? What happened, please?
Because when I was in Detroit, okay, I lost my job, first of all. Okay. And I got here and didn't have enough money to purchase an apartment or anything, you know. I go to work. I'm a telemarketer during the day. I sell alcohol at night, you know, and eventually I won't be homeless.
So you sleep on the street at night.
Literally.
And in the morning, you get up and you go to work.
Yeah, and so I'll go to the gym first for about an hour. That allows me to take showers and stuff and stay clean, you know, so that I can go to work.
What was your first night on the street like? How did you feel?
I was, like, kind of scared. I really couldn't sleep, you know. You got one eye open, you know, you listen for things. Every time a person comes by, you're like, oh, you know, because you're off guard, you know, and your senses have to get stronger when you do something like that.
Joe, a Vietnam vet and trained therapist, has been sleeping on the street for nearly 3 years. He offered to show me around.
You can see cardboard boxes. People have put up cardboard boxes. Now,
I can see what looks like is that a tent at the end there. Mm-hmm. Joe, are there many people like you on Skid Row who are here because they lost their jobs?
Yes.
And they're trained professionals?
Yes.
You have you noticed more people like that since the financial crash?
I have seen people down here with master's and PhD degrees that's lying down here on cardboard because they have nothing else and they have nothing substantial to make them survive and stay in the mainstream as if they would want to. You no longer have citizens here. What you have here is victims. We are victims of the politics, we are victims of the police, we are victims of the state, we are victims of the county. And the other section is making money and we are not.
We return to Skid Row the next day to find most homeless people had left. In the city of Los Angeles, it's illegal to sit or sleep on the street during daylight hours. Many of the homeless are forced to walk all day to avoid being picked up by the police for loitering. We met a longtime Skid Row resident and activist known as General Dogon.
Any given time, you have like up to about 5,000 people that's sleeping on the streets at night. You know, and during the daytime, it's like right now, the young lady right here. Got a red light right here.
You're not allowed to jaywalk.
Getting a ticket on Skid Row is not like getting a ticket nowhere else.
Why?
Because the police uses that as a pretext to throw you against the wall, to search you, they handcuff you.
So there's a strong police presence in Skid Row.
Yes, it is. It's more police on Skid Row than in any other community in the nation.
So what's the feeling now between people who live on Skid Row and the police?
They repeatedly target folks over and over and over and over and over again. They target you until you just get so mad you throw the towel in and you just leave and go to another community, or they arrest you and send you to the penitentiary.
Four years ago, the Los Angeles Police Department launched an initiative to reduce crime on Skid Row, and over 100 extra officers were drafted into the area. It says it has successfully reduced crime here.
1, 2, 3, 4 police cars, and I've just been told by one of the policemen, there's an undercover police car, and they've just stopped this man here, and we've got over 10 policemen for this one man. Have people here tried to get places and shelters?
Yeah, they try to get places to go, and there's just no other place to go. It's a human rights violation. That's what it is, a human rights violation, because you criminalizing somebody for not having nowhere to go.
But despite what people here say, the police maintain its officers have not violated the rights of the homeless. Every day across America, people are preparing to leave their homes for the last time. Lanny and Marilyn Henry's home, east of Los Angeles, is being repossessed by the bank after they failed to make their mortgage payments.
This is a home, and this is where we've been for a while now.
We spend a lot of time out here.
Yeah.
They have 3 weeks to move out and don't know where they'll go. They still haven't told their children.
Lanny, what went through your mind when you found out that you've lost your home?
I felt like a failure. Felt like I let them down. You know? Because I promised her this was going to be her dream house and we're going to die here.
The U.S. economy is in recovery, but many experts believe the most damaging effects have yet to be felt. It's predicted that another 1.5 million people will be forced into homelessness over the next 2 years. And in a country with few safety nets, many more people like Lanny and Marilyn will fall through the cracks.
I met a stranger. Oh, she told me. About people,
about people,
about people, people in a foreign land.
She pointed her finger. Oh, she said to me. Oh, she said to me. There's people. Oh, there's people hungry over there. Some people laughed. Oh, when they saw her face. But I cried. Oh, I cried, cried. When I saw her smile. She got a toothbrush in her back pocket.
On the surface, Las Vegas is still a city where people dream of making a fortune. And despite the economic crisis, planes still land and take off every few seconds. Under all the neon is a labyrinth of tunnels and storm drains that are home to the homeless. No one really knows how many live in this subterranean world. They are out of sight, so out of mind. It's a world few from the surface have access to. One who does is writer Matthew O'Brien, who has spent 7 years exploring the storm drains.
There's more than 300 miles of underground flood channels in the Las Vegas Valley. Some of them are really kind of low and wet and not really walkable because they can fill a foot per minute with floodwater. So when I stumbled upon the first camp, I definitely took a few steps backward and was trying to figure out what was going on here.
I've been down here for a little over a year. And when I met her, it's been about 6 months now.
Yeah.
She's been down here about 6 months. But just because we live outside doesn't mean you have to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
One man's junk is another man's treasure. I used to have a job and everything like that, too. I'm even college educated. And I let drugs get the better of me. You know, I let it take all my money. I let it control me. Which is something I'm working on now. You know, I got a beautiful girlfriend who loves me, and I love her. And we realize, you know, if we're going to have a future together, that this is not it. There's a lot of money in the casinos. And people tend to walk away from their money on slot machines. Just simply forget it. And that's pretty much what we do. And we just recognize that the money's left on there, and we take it off it. Sometimes, you know, it could be, you know, 50 cents to a dollar. Sometimes it can be several hundred dollars to as much as $1,000.
Privacy is a factor, and
intimacy can be a little hard.
But just to get changed or something, usually everybody's pretty good. I mean, that's the beauty of the darkness. You always see someone coming before they arrive.
If because they see all the light. Flashlights, yeah. And stuff.
You see the light, and if he's with me, he'll just start barking. So, which I love that.
We know that
This is not a legal place for us to stay.
Yeah, we are trespassing.
We are trespassing. You do know that, and that's a bad thing.
We're not visible, which is a good thing. That's why I think they leave us alone.
Yeah. I don't look at us completely as homeless. We're just people without a home at the moment.
That's some of the disadvantages of people who don't care about other people's
stuff. Yeah, this is annoying and smelly. When it gets hot, it's going to be a real nightmare.
It's the bottles that they urinate in. You don't want to switch from that.
I'll change highways in a while as I am walking one more mile on the road that I've taken. One day walking, I awaking. One day walking, I awaking on the road that I have taken. From the Book of Counted Sorrows.
Phil ain't got a soul of his own, just a little piece of a big soul. The one big soul that belongs to everybody. Then
what, Tom?
Then it don't matter. I'll be all around in the dark. I'll be everywhere, wherever you can look. Wherever there's a fight so hungry people can eat, I'll be there. Wherever there's a cop beating up a guy, I'll be there. I'll be in the way guys yell when they're mad. I'll be in the way kids laugh when they're hungry and they know supper's ready. And when the people are eating the stuff they raise, and living in the houses they build, I'll be there too.
Men walking along the railroad tracks, gone someplace, there's no going back. Highway patrol choppers coming up over the ridge. Hot soup on a campfire under the bridge. Shelter line stretching around the corner. Welcome to the new world order. Families sleeping in their cars in the southwest. No home, no job, no peace, no rest. Well, the highway's alive at night, but nobody's kidding nobody about where it goes. I'm sitting down here in the campfire light, searching for the ghost of Tom.
Pulls his prayer book out of his sleeping bag. Preacher lights up a butt and takes a drag. Waiting for when the last shall be first and the first shall be last. In a cardboard box deep the underpass, you got a one-way ticket to the promised land. You got a hole in your belly and a gun in your hand. Sleeping on a pillow, solid rug. Bathing in the city's aqueduct. The highway is alive tonight. Where it's headed, everybody knows. I'm sitting down here in the campfire light, waiting on the ghost of Tom Jones.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics reported 533,000 jobs were lost in November, the highest monthly total since 1974. A total of nearly 2 million jobs have been lost this year. The nation's official unemployment rate has risen to 6.7%. The New York Times reports the unemployment rate does not include those too discouraged to look for work any longer, or those working fewer hours than they would like. Add those people to the roster of the unemployed, and the rate hit a record 12.5% in November. Bank of America has announced plans to cut up to 35,000 jobs over the next 3 years. The company blamed the move in part on a pending acquisition of the brokerage firm Merrill Lynch. Bank of America has received $25 billion under the taxpayer bailout of Wall Street so far. It's the latest in a round of mass layoffs to hit the financial sector. Last month, Citigroup announced plans to lay off 50,000 workers. The Bank of America layoffs come amidst new applications for first-time state jobless benefits are at their highest in 26 years. The Labor Department says filings rose 11% last week to 573,000.
Now Tom said, "Mom, wherever there's a cop beating a guy, wherever hungry and born baby cry, where there's a fight against blood and hatred in the air, look for me, Mom, I'll be there.
Wherever somebody's fighting for a place to stand, for a decent job or a helping hand, wherever somebody's struggling to be free, look in their eyes, Ma, you'll see me.